heart of Sharjah.
This is Kalam Astro.
Kalam Astro.
Kalam Astro.
With Ali Al-Nuaimi.
On Pulse 95.
95.
Yes, you're listening to Kalam Astro, your destination for the latest news and discoveries from the vast universe around us. I'm your host, Ali Al-Nuaimi, and it is time for our amazing space updates, and I can't wait to start our space journey together. So we've got an exciting show lined up for you all over this hour as we explore the wonders of astronomy and space science. So wherever your interest is, whether it's beauty of deep space, the quest of extraterrestrial life, or humanity's expansion off the planet, but probably exoplanets, habitable planets where we get to have the chance to live outside of planet Earth. We've got you covered with all these topics, so I would love for all of you to stick around because Kalam Astro is just getting started. We will be right back after this short break, so don't go anywhere and keep it right here with us on Pulse 95.
The heart of Sharjah.
This is Kalam Astro.
Kalam Astro.
Kalam Astro.
With Ali Al-Nuaimi.
On Pulse 95.
95.
Welcome back to Kalam Astro. Hope you've enjoyed the break and are ready to start our exciting space journey all together with you guys. Right, so I have an exciting lineup of topics that we will be talking about in this upcoming hour of Kalam Astro, and I must mention that we will be discussing space facts and facts that you probably have never heard of before about the planets in the solar system. So I have weird facts, probably it will be your first time to hear them, and we will be talking about the overview effect, which is about what astronauts feel and what do they say when they went all the way up to space and viewed Earth from space, basically. And we will be talking also about a very interesting topic, which is called space tourism. So what would you feel and how can you go all the way to space and be a tourist yourself? So we've got an exciting lineup of topics to discuss and talk about all the way, starting Kalam Astro. Now, for now, there's also a very important event that I would like to highlight, which is the Lyrid Meteor Shower. And this Lyrid Meteor Shower is happening on April 21st and 23rd next week. So 21st on Sunday and 22nd on Monday, and it will last till 23rd. On April. Now, the Lyrid meteor shower produces 20 shooting stars per hour, and the Lyrids are unique thanks to the easier to spot meteors that leave long dust trails lasting several seconds. Unfortunately, though, because it's going to coincide with the full moon next week, this will make the meteors a little bit hard to spot. But then again, the number of the showers, 20 shooting stars per hour, is not a small number, so probably you can get to see them, even if it's a full moon, right? Now, the full moon is going to be on April 23rd on Tuesday, and so that will mark the end of the Lyrid meteor shower. Getting back to the Lyrid meteor shower, what is it exactly? It's an annual meteor shower that occurs every April of each year. And the key facts about the Lyrid meteor shower is that it always dates April 16th to 25th, always, and the peak usually occurs on April 22nd. And as I said, usually around 10 to 20 meteors per hour during the peak. This is the peak maximum, so every hour you get to see 10 to 20 shooting stars shooting there. So some years it has been known to produce rates of up to 100 per hour as well. And not to mention that the Lyrid meteors are considered medium fast at around 30 miles per second. They tend to be very bright. The shooting stars of the meteors tend to be very bright and fast with like glowing trails, and they last for a few seconds. Some may also explode into bright balls of light. So you'll be very lucky if you've spotted one exploding. Now, is it possible to view the Lyrid meteor shower in the UAE? Well, yes, it is possible to see the Lyrid meteor shower from the United Arab Emirates. And that's because the UAE is well placed geographically in the Northern Hemisphere to observe the Lyrids, as the radiant point will be high in the night sky. Now, the peak visibility occurs on April 22nd, as I said, each year between midnight and dawn local time. So this will be able to give your eyes at least 30 minutes to adjust to the dark. and that would definitely help. Right, so where to go? Basically, in the UAE, you can head to areas all the way from the city lights for the best views, like the desert or remote beach locations. The darker the skies are, the more meteors you'll be able to see. So under these ideal conditions, you can expect to see around 10 to 20 meteors per hour from the UAE during the peak. So you can basically take basic supplies like food, water, a blanket or chair. There are so many public stargazing sites which exist in many Emirates. Specifically, if I have to mention, Mleha is a perfect location to stargaze. So in summary, we can say that the UAE does offer the suitable dark skies in April to sport the lurid meteor shower from locations away from light pollutions. So with a clear weather, you should be able to enjoy the celestial display. Just be sure to bundle up against the cooler desert evenings. A quick break and we will be coming back. Don't go anywhere and keep it right here with us on Pulse 95.
You're listening to Pulse 95.
Pulse 95.
This is Kalam Astro.
Kalam Astro.
Kalam Astro.
With Ali Al-Nuemi.
On Pulse 95.
95.
Welcome back to Kalam Astro. I hope you had a wonderful break and we're looking at the sky, but not as you are driving. If you're listening to me while you're driving, do not look at the sky. Right. Hope you're enjoying your time at the moment and are ready to talk more and more about space. Right. So a while ago, we've talked about the Lyrids meteor shower, which is going to be next week, starting from April 21st and will last till April 23rd. We talked about this year's amazing meteor shower, which will be producing around 20 shooting stars per hour. But however, unfortunately, on April 23rd is going to be the full moon, also known as the pink moon. And this might be a little bit of a hurdle for the meteor shower to be more visible. So it will be a little bit hard to spot. And yes, you can view them. The meteor shower can be viewed in the UAE if you just get away from the city lights or the light pollution. Places like deserts, just like Mleha, Kamf would be a perfect location for you to view the Lyrids meteor shower. So mark your calendars and do not miss it. For now, let's talk about some unusual space facts that you probably haven't heard of before. And if you did, do text us on 4215. Let us know if you know these facts or not. Right, so basically, the universe is a bizarre place, as we all know it, because it's packed with mysteries, aliens, planets, and yes, I do believe in aliens, so I do believe that aliens exist in the universe. So yeah, it's a bizarre place, right? So there are stars, the dwarf, the sun, black holes of unfathomable power as we know it, and many other cosmic curiosities that seem to defy logic. So let's give a highlight of a small sampling of the countless unusual space facts about our planet and the vast universe beyond. First, let's start with the moon. Did you know that it would take 9 years to walk to the moon? Yes, you heard that correctly. 9 years to walk to the moon. So the distance between the moon and Earth is 9 years' time. You might be able to see it on the night sky and probably think that will be really near, but actually it takes around 9 years to walk to the moon. Right, so this is a walking distance. So if you go walking, you will take 9 years to reach the moon. But of course, no one can go walking, probably. That's highly impossible because you go flying with a spacecraft. Right, let's talk about Mars. Mars is called the red planet because of its red colouring, which comes from the large amount of iron oxide, which is known on Earth as rust on the planet's surface. What about Mercury? Mercury's temperature varies from -280 degrees Fahrenheit on its night side to 800 degrees Fahrenheit during the day. That is way too hot. Probably you'll be burnt alive. Ow. Don't want to even think about that. Right, what about the sun? The sun, well, the sun is 400 times larger than the moon, but it also 400 times as far away from the moon. And that's why both objects appear to be the same size in our sky. Wow, that's interesting. For Jupiter, Jupiter is the largest planet, of course, and we've discussed and talked about it before when we had a special episode about planet Jupiter. And this planet could contain the other seven planets in just 70% of its volume. Wow, so it's too huge, way too huge. one more interesting fact, which is stars. Do you know that stars do not twinkle until their light passes through Earth's atmosphere? So if the star passes through Earth, then it gets to twinkle. And if Earth were the size of a tennis ball, the sun would be a sphere 24 feet across, approximately 0.5 miles away. Wow. All right. And did you know that it takes 1 billion seconds for the light from a star 31.7 light years away to reach Earth? Wow. This is absolutely fascinating, which means that the universe is probably the past and probably we are the present or the future or vice versa, I don't know. But there's just something so weird about time when it comes to space and the universe. Right, and did you know also that the International Space Station completes an orbit of Earth in about 90 minutes? How amazing is that? That's very quick, to be honest. Right. If Venus's cloud also trap a lot of sun's heat, and this makes the temperature the hottest in the solar system, which is 863 Fahrenheit. Yes, you will be burnt alive. Right, so these were a few unusual facts about space, more specifically about the solar system. A quick break and we will be coming back to discuss and talk more about space, so don't go anywhere. Keep the radio waves locked on Pulse 95.
The heart of Zsa Zsa.
This is Pulse 95.
Heart of Zsa Zsa.
This is Kalam Astro.
Kalam Astro.
Kalam Astro.
With Ali Al-Nwemi.
On Pulse 95.
95.
Well, for now I have a very, very interesting topic to talk about in this segment, and it is all about the overview effect. Now you probably might wonder and ask what the overview effect is. Well, basically, or in a summary, I can say that it means what astronauts feel while they view Earth from space. So it means, like, if you're an astronaut, you travel all the way up to space and get to see Earth from outside. Now, since 1961, 553 people have reached Earth's orbit, and each has come back with their own space story. From the bland food, to the impact of zero gravity, to space memorabilia, and the mind-alerting sensation of seeing Earth from above. Just imagine. So most of the astronauts gave their perspective or their stories about viewing Earth from outside, basically, or in space, and you'll definitely get excited for the zero gravity stories. Right, so again, the overview effect is the experience of seeing Earth from above for the first time, and most astronauts, of course, realize just how small they are and how beautiful the planet is. So the first person to experience this sensation was Yuri Gagarin in 1961, so during the height of the Cold War space race, we can say. Yuri had a very famous saying. Well, she said, orbiting Earth in the spaceship, "I saw how beautiful our planet is. People, let us preserve and increase this beauty, not destroy it." So over 60 years later, hundreds of astronauts, and now space tourists, of course, have also had a similar experience. And after his first trip to space, Neil Armstrong also famously said, "It suddenly struck me that tiny pea, pretty in blue, was the Earth. I put up my thumb and shut one eye, and my thumb blotted out the planet Earth. I didn't feel like a giant. I felt very, very small." So basically, overall, astronauts have reported that the natural beauty of Earth from afar for over six decades, while the quality of cameras and footage from space has increased, of course, from black and white footage since the times of the 60s or the times of Neil Armstrong and other astronauts, to definitely nowadays the breathtaking high quality images, human eyes have taken in the same effect when watching or looking at Earth from space. Now let's talk about the first zero gravity experience. Now the zero gravity stories make for some of the most interesting and, let's say, entertaining of all space experiences, because while each story is unique, the emotions, thoughts, and common mistakes are definitely shared by the astronauts during their first new or few flights to space. Now, there was a former NASA astronaut named Steve Swanson. He mentioned his difficulty when first entering zero gravity, and I'm sure it must be very, very difficult. Imagine you going to zero gravity all of a sudden and then you have to cope up. And I'm sure, of course, NASA gives the astronauts training before they go all the way to zero gravity, but at the same time. So what did Steve Swanson have to say, who is the former NASA astronaut? He said, "The first thing I really notice is I am a klutz in space, and I cannot move well at all. It took a while to not feel like you were just a moron." So you can say disorientation is a common theme throughout many stories of the astronauts, because the astronauts do struggle to adapt to the fact that there is no up or down when it comes to zero gravity. So moving around in zero gravity appears to be very difficult for most at the first experience for all astronauts. And some astronauts also highlighted that zero gravity is actually manageable if you get to move slowly, similar to a moving cart or a cart which walks slowly, basically. A very interesting overview effect. Now that we've learned what the overview effect is, I wonder if we will ever get the chance to go all the way up to space and get to view Earth while we are in space and get the overview effect. And I wonder how it would make us feel. A quick break and we will be coming back. Don't go anywhere and keep it right here with us on Pulse 95.
This is Pulse 95. It's a Sharjah story.
This is Kalam Astro.
Kalam Astro.
Kalam Astro.
With Ali Al-Nuemi.
On Pulse 95.
Welcome back to Kalam Astro. Now, I have a very, very interesting question for all of you guys. If you all got the chance to travel all the way to space as a tourist, this time you don't have to go all the way to Europe, Asia, or the Middle East, or anywhere. You don't have to travel all the way to Italy, London, Hong Kong, or Japan, for example. No, you get to visit space as a tourist, and this is going to be definitely the space age of adventure nowadays, and that's happening very, very soon, as we've talked about it so many times on Kalam Astro. So my question is, if you got the chance, will you do that? Text us on 4215. Let us know if you are willing to go all the way to space as a tourist. And I think I would do that because I love space, so why not? I mean, if everything is safe and we can go there, why not, right? We get to see new places. And probably we can get the overview effect that we've just talked about a while ago. Right, so space tourism is on the way, because it is one of the fastest growing parts of the space industry, which, again, we've talked about so many times. And according to the Pew Research, about 42% of the Americans say they would definitely or probably be interested in orbiting Earth in a spacecraft that comes to America. And I'm sure that the whole world agrees, right? But what should we know before going all the way to space? Because before we get started on the best ways to visit space as a tourist, whether in a spacecraft or a shuttle or anywhere, we have to address a current debate. Because where does space actually begin, right? So if we go all the way to space, where are they going to take us? Because once you pass through the thickest parts of Earth's atmosphere, there isn't exactly a welcome to space sign, basically. Because all of the countries tend to differ on the level of space, or where space begins, basically. But again, it's typically pinned between 50 miles above ground to over 600 miles above the ground. Now, the International Space Station, for example, orbits at around 200 miles above the ground. Today's options for space tourists focus on the points of space nearest to Earth. While they might not meet the minimum criteria of 50 miles above ground, but they do still capture much of the experience of being in space without the preparation and costs of going deeper. So, how can you get to space? What are the three popular means of getting to space, or closer, or close enough to count that you've went to space? Probably there's an option that's called balloon capsule flights. Now, the only way to get up to the deeper layers of outer space is through a rocket, typically, which is a drastically different endeavor, of course, than gearing up to explore the closer layers. So balloon capsule flights can make the layers closer to Earth accessible with comparatively less intensive preparation. So if you're imagining futuristic hot air balloons, you're not too far off from an air balloon. So if there is a balloon capsule flight in the future, this might be one way for you to go all the way to space. There are also rocket flights, and the most notable of the space tech companies, Elon Musk's SpaceX, sits at top of the list, we can say, of the rocket-propelled space tourism flights. SpaceX is working very, very hard when it comes to space tourism. So they're preparing space tourism flights. Not sure about the costs, though, but I'm definitely sure it's going to be very, very expensive. All right. How about zero gravity flights? The feeling of floating and bouncing around without gravity. This will definitely capture much of the imagination share of what all of us would want to experience if we ever get to go to space. We do want to experience the zero gravity. So there are commercial companies like a company called Zero G. They allow people to experience a zero gravity environment similar to what you feel or get to feel on Earth. On space. Right, so how would the zero gravity flights be? They will definitely be physically similar to skydiving or roller coaster drops, rather than feeling like you are on the receiving end of an intense gravity pull. So you'll be floating inside the airplane, similar to how a spacecraft feels when in space with the engines cut off. Now, all of these are possibilities. So what will be our final thoughts of what's next for space tourism? As I mentioned, companies like Zero G are bringing space within reach today, the experiences of which can help build a more substantial base for future space endeavors, and this can give you an experience before going all the way up there. Just the weightless feeling of zero gravity is definitely something so unique that it definitely sends people home with stories for a lifetime. So I would say I'm looking very, very, very forward to what the future of space tourism holds. While man's first steps on the moon were done on the clock and filmed with bulky, grainy cameras, well, the next will definitely set boot prints on the moon, maybe recreational and streamed on Instagram Live. Why not? Yes, or could be on TikTok or anywhere else. These were the possibilities of space tourism and the ways we get to go all the way there. Hope any of these become true. And we get to travel all the way to space. Quick break, and we are coming back. Don't go anywhere. Keep it right here with us on Pulse 95.
You're listening to Pulse 95.
Pulse 95.
This is Kalam Astro.
Kalam Astro.
Kalam Astro.
With Ali Al-Nuemi.
On Pulse 95.
95.
I can honestly say that today's or tonight's episode of Kalam Astro was quite interesting, to be honest. And again, I genuinely want to thank all of you as we approach the end of tonight's Kalam Astro. Thank you to all of the listeners who were tuning in since Kalam Astro started, and those who came all the way at the end or were in between. That's no problem at all. Thank you to all of the listeners who are tuning in to Kalam Astro always, or for the first time, or mid the show. Doesn't really matter. As long as you're tuning in, thank you. Thank you so much. I cannot do that show without you guys. If it's not for your great text, for your great presence, then Kalam Astro is nothing without you guys, definitely. Right, so as a quick wrap-up, we've discussed today the exciting Lyrid meteor shower that's happening next week on April 21st to 23rd. We talked about how it shoots 20 shooting stars per hour, and probably you might get to catch one of these stars. And if you're in the United Arab Emirates, you cannot miss it out. If you go all the way to deserts, I recommend Mleha for Sharjah, or a campsite in Sharjah, or anywhere in the UAE. Just get away from the light pollution and you'll be able to catch the amazing meteor shower, the Lyrid meteor shower, which happens every April each year. We also talked about fascinating space facts that probably you guys have not heard of before in the solar system. We talked about Venus's hot atmosphere, we've talked about Jupiter moons, and so many other facts. We also talked about the overview effect, which, if you don't remember, is how would astronauts, or how do astronauts feel if they go all the way to space and see Earth from afar, from space, for the very first time. And we talked also about zero gravity and how astronauts get to feel like morons at the beginning till they get used to it, basically. We also discussed space tourism, which we are highly anticipating to happen in 2024 to 2025 on the long run. Hopefully all of us will get to go and travel all the way to space very, very soon. I would definitely be one of those people who would love to go, or be the first ones who get to go to space, since I am a space lover. And I'm sure you guys, if you're tuning in to Kalam Astro, you guys are all space lovers and are interested in space. So probably in the future, we might get to the hot air balloon or the capsule that I've talked about. It's kind of like similar to the air balloon that might be able to take us all the way to space. Doesn't feel so safe though, so I would say let's go on a space shuttle. That would be a lot more safer, in my opinion. Well, that was it. That was a quick wrap up for tonight's show, and I genuinely, again, thank you for tuning in, and I would love for all of you to stay tuned, because tomorrow we still have one more Kalam Astro episode over the weekend. We definitely love that you mark your calendars. Tomorrow at 7 p.m. we will be back for another meeting on Pulse 95.
This is Pulse 95. All day, every day. This is Pulse 95.